Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Out of Rupees, which was last done in March. And as always, I'm joined by Lucy Yearwood.
Hello. It's like we do one a quarter.
One a quarter. Yeah, quite right. It's one a quarter. Hey, it works. It works.
Mm-hmm. And the financial people, you know.
We are the financial people.
Stick to quarters.
Yeah. We do like to stick quarters. Also, time and life gets in the way. Yeah, and also Nintendo not having a huge amount of news. They did have some news, which we'll get into. But before we get into that, have you been playing anything?
Oh no, the weather's just been too nice. And I haven't played anything really. So you're going to have to fill in the what have we played gap here.
no worries. Well, actually, before I do that, because I haven't played any game on it, but I did buy a Switch 2. I wasn't planning to, but over the years I've been selling stuff to Kex, and I basically had a voucher that covered the whole purchase price. So I thought, before the price jump, and I thought, the second hand, so the one I bought, I saw they had the date on it. The person traded it back in January. So they themselves only had it for 6 months, and they clearly took good care of it. So it felt like it was pretty much a new Switch 2. And I thought, I'll get it. Even if I don't play it immediately, I had the amount in the Kex vouchers and I can leave it there now. Once games start to come out, I'm more interested. But I have it now because they've announced a price increase coming September. Not an excessive. I think it's going up by £50. So it's not
quite a bit.
Yeah, it is quite a lot. But you know, it's still the probably the cheapest console on the market with the way everything's going. But yeah, we'll get into that. But otherwise, what have I been playing? I recently finished two games. For the first time, I played the first Marvel Spider-Man, which was really good, on PS4. I played What Remains of Edith Finch, which I did like, although I'm never someone to say their opinion's wrong, because it's not. Just the way I played it, when I saw lots of nines and tens, I thought, ooh, is this really going to touch the field? And for the most part, it didn't. I still enjoyed it.
I think it was the same as you, yeah. sentiment.
I thought, okay, I didn't get... Again, I don't want to say I don't get why it wasn't highly praised, because opinions are subjective. No one's wrong, no one's right. You know, you like what you like, you dislike what you dislike. Not a problem. But personally, I thought this is a good game. I enjoyed it. Bit morbid, which I didn't mind the morbid aspect of it, but I just didn't feel it did a lot to me. I think one that touched me more a few years ago, even though similar, quite walking simulator, was it Everybody's Gone to the Rapture? Yeah. That had much more of an impact on me personally. So I probably enjoyed that game overall more. Otherwise, what have I been playing? I've been playing Assassin's Creed Origins, the first RPG Assassin's Creed. Yep, that's the Egypt one. Yeah. I'm a big history buff. I love, and Ubisoft, for all their criticism, the way they recreate the worlds and the architecture, and they really immerse you in the world, I think, really well. I think Origins, the period they've picked, is such a fascinating time, because it's not ancient Egypt. Ancient Egypt's basically gone. You know, they've been conquered by the Greeks. It's why there's so many Greeks around them, and they're about to be conquered by the Romans. That's the next power coming in. Caesar's in it. So I think it's really interesting seeing how they're getting those cultures to clash, even in just the little details, even in minor. So I think that's really good. Not convinced about the RPG-ness. So I know this was their first RPG, so maybe Valhalla, Odyssey, even Shadows might do those elements better. I don't know. But I'm enjoying the world. I'm enjoying the story for the most part. Their stories are never amazing, but I'm enjoying exploring it. But I'm not convinced about the RPG. I just don't know if it fully works in that sense. Still a very good game, because I'm really enjoying it. But there are moments where I'm going, okay, this is really annoying, this RPG-ness aspect. This might be a me thing, but it's completely against, oh, I need to go to a blacksmith to buy more weapons and upgrade my thing. That's not how I play Assassin's Creed. And it just feels, I don't know if they'd fully ironed out those kinks here. But I'm still enjoying, as I said, climbing the pyramids, the Sphinx, exploring Alexandria, the way they've got the lighthouse of Alexandria, the library. I think their attention to detail, as I said, Ubisoft, they rightly get criticized. They do a lot wrong. But anytime they delve into like this, the historical worlds of that their games are set in, especially in Assassin's Creed. I think it's some of the best virtual tourism you'll ever get. And I've dabbled very briefly with their discovery mode, which is basically no combat and it's just exploration. And then you learn about the various parts of Egypt, the various monuments, the cities. That's really cool. And they do a really good job at that. So enjoying that. The other game I've been playing on Switch is called The World Ends With You, which was a game on DS.
Oh, yeah.
And that was all done with the stylus. Obviously, the Switch only has one screen, so it's all touch. I must admit, I just wish I could play with the controller and the buttons, but the touch controls work really well. It's really stylish. I think I'm close to the end. I'm enjoying it. So, yeah, so it's been a mix. As I said, Assassin's Creed Origins, I'm about 14, 15 hours in. And I think they say, despite it being open world, it's not actually, the story itself is not very long, but I want to take more time exploring things. And The World Ends With You, I'm about 10 hours in, and I think there's another couple of hours to go. So very close. But yeah, that's it. Did you play Assassin's Creed Origins or no?
I started it. Within like an hour, like the map opened up and I was like, absolutely not. I do not have 600 hours to complete this. And yeah, I wasn't a fan of combat. And but yeah, I think the setting was interesting. It looked great because I think that was when I first got like my Series X or something, or maybe it was the one before that, or I can't even remember the name of the consoles. And yeah, it looked really good, but I hadn't played Assassin's Creed since 3, because 3 really turned me off the franchise, and I just haven't really ever been back to it in any, you know, capacity beyond like playing an hour of
Origins. No, fair enough. No, that's fair enough. I might, what I want to do, because it's been such a long time since I played even the older style Assassin's Creed, is maybe revisit one of the older ones just to see. I know there's Black Flag remake coming out, and to me Black Flag is superb, so I'm actually quite excited about that remake. But that's, it is an Assassin's Creed game, but it's very much a pirate game first and foremost. You're going around blowing things up in your ship, so it feels like that wasn't quite it definitely still is an Assassin's Creed game, but people enjoy it most of all, including me, for the pirate aspect. So I want to see. I know people say Unity is quite underrated. It came out with all those issues, but they say the creation of Paris is incredible, and Syndicate, the UK Victorian England one, is meant to be quite good. So I might, not immediately, because even the older Assassin's Creed games, they're big. You know, they're still semi open world ish, just sometimes set in one city or a few areas as opposed to one big map. But yeah, I want to see if it really is. I've just got rose tinted glasses because I haven't played them in so long. So I'm thinking, oh yeah, I don't like the RPG mechanic. Let's go back to the old ones. And I play the old one and go, oh, I see why they changed. I don't know. But yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm taking my time with it. I'm not in any rush. But yeah, so well done for the weather being too good here. We've done a couple of picnics. I've done a couple of picnics, but nice. It's been so hot that doing anything for the most part has not been fun. So
so like tanning a lot.
Oh, well done.
Sitting there absorbing it.
Well, I'm going on holiday in 10 days to Italy, so I'll be doing that then.
Okay, that's good. By the time, you know, the weather gets bad again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm looking forward to it.
There's a new heat wave for you.
Let's see. Right, so yeah, I'm playing. I thought we'd go through into a little bit of the general news that's happened, because it's been a while. I think although it was rumoured, one of the strangest and funniest reveals was Nintendo revealing Star Fox, just announcing. I found out the next day, because apparently they announced a direct like 10 minutes to midnight, with the direct happening in 10 minutes time. They revealed the new Star Fox remake, 64, brand new visuals, everything, voice acting, new cutscenes, and I'm curious about it. I think a lot of people think, oh, another Star Fox 64 remake. I've never even played Star Fox 64. So for me, it's like, okay. But it feels like Nintendo is kind of, they've realized we've never done really great with a sequel. Star Fox has never really kicked off. Let's draw the line in the sand. Let's start again. Because they haven't even called it Star Fox 64. they've just called it Star Fox, which to me suggests this is a reset point. This is the potentially, and it seems to have done quite well in the sales, this is the game that will, for them, maybe kickstart Star Fox into the franchise that Nintendo, and particularly Miyamoto, have always wanted it to be.
Yeah, I've never played Star Fox, any of them, so yeah, certainly not on my radar.
Obviously, other games that came out, Tamagotchi Life, that was huge, because that's just a Switch 1 game. They didn't do a Switch 2 version.
Didn't they? No.
As I think you get some slight bells and whistles on the Switch 2, but it's not like they made a Switch 2 version. It's just a Switch 1 game, which is the same with, I think just came out last week, Rhythm Heaven. Which really got really good reviews, but not my kind of game. Even though I do like music and rhythm based things, so yeah, looks people seem to like it. I think it will do quite well. It's a Switch 1 game. I think it's got some slight bells and whistles, additional bells and whistles on Switch 2, but it has been designed as a Switch 1 game. What else happened in the last month? Splatoon Raiders, that got a release date. That's coming out this month as well. That recently got a direct. I know Splatoon is huge in Japan. I know this is meant to be a single player predominantly game, but just Splatoon is never something that's caught my eye. It's caught my eye in the sense of it looks cool, it's quite stylistic, and it's quite different to what Nintendo does. And I love this idea of Nintendo. No, we're going to enter the multiplayer shooter market, but do it in a way you don't expect. But just not for me.
I like Splatoon, and I think a single player one would... I don't know, because it's like Switch, maybe like how rubbish Nintendo is with like online capabilities in terms of like voice chat and everything and integrating actual social aspects. Splatoon always felt like, oh yeah, I'm playing a multiplayer game, but it's one that I can just hop in and out of. I don't need to be, you know, vocal on comms or anything or strategize and stuff like that. So it wasn't like, oh, I, you know, like some of these friend slot games where I'm just like, absolutely not for me, because I don't really like multiplayer or playing with people that much. But yeah, the getting a single player one is probably aligns more with my interests anyway. So I'm interested in seeing what it does, because I really liked the single player mode in Splatoon 2. That was fun.
Yeah, because there's one in 2 and there's one in 3, isn't there? There's none in 1. Am I correct? It's 2 and 3.
Yeah, yep. But there was 1 and 2 for sure. Just like great music and very colourful. Really fun.
Yeah, so it comes out. It will do huge in Japan again, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. 23rd of July. So that's what, 2 weeks? Just over 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks on Thursday. So that will be, I'm sure it will do quite well. Talking about doing quite well, Nintendo financials. Switch 2 sold just under 20 million units in its first 9 months. So it's outpacing the Switch currently. Eventually, I think we've discussed this before. We don't think that's going to continue, but
with the price going up as well.
Yeah. So I think Japan, they did it pretty much immediately. They've stalled it somewhat before UK, Europe, US, because that's at 1st of September. Pokemon Pocopia has been a smash hit. I think it's sold close to 5 million copies already. Sold 2 million in like a couple of days. People love their Dragon Quest Builders Minecraft Pokemon mashup. So that's good to see, because I always like when Pokemon have these spin-offs, these weird spin-offs where they do interesting things. That is getting an expansion pass. So this is a game that I think will continue to grow for several years. They've forecast, so for the financial year, so that starts 1st of April to the 31st of May. So 1st of April this year to the 31st of March next year. They've not dropped because we don't know. Well, they expect slightly fewer Switch 2 sold over the next financial years. They expect about 16 million, which despite the price increase, I think they'll get that. I still think there's enough interest in it. I think at the moment Nintendo's trying to... They held off on the price increase as long as possible, because I think what Nintendo is trying to do now is build up that install base so that when the games come, those games sell well. And obviously build up and, you know, with when the price increases come in, release more heavy hitters so people are willing to take the hit on the price increase because of the heavy hitters coming. But if they reach that goal, 16 million, there'll be about 35, 36 million Switch 2s in about a year and a half on the market, which is very good going. Is it a year and a half? I think it's just under 2 years. So I think that would be good. I think they'll reach it. It depends, though. Will they do what Sony and Microsoft have to do, which is every 6 months to a year, they announce another price increase? Because what's the ceiling? We've seen with Sony's latest price increases that their sales have cratered. Mm-hmm. Xbox sales cratered long ago. But I think at this stage, Nintendo is safe because they're expensive, but they're not as expensive. I think potentially they've often very stingy on game sales, putting a game on sale. I'm wondering if going forward they'll start to offer more bundles or start to drop the price of the game for a limited time to offset the costs of the increase in the console. I think that was what I would do, but Nintendo are very conservative in that respect, so I don't know if they will.
I mean,
you're not convinced by the Switch 2 yet, are you?
I've held one. I've played before, and it's a good console, but it's just not anything that I would rush out to go get at the moment. But that's just probably more emblematic of where I am with games and the industry and how. I mean, with all the things going on, there's just very little that interests me in terms of on the console space. I think it's just like smaller indie games on PC that take 2 hours that I'm on my groove now. There's a lack of money, there's a lack of time, there's a lack of everything. And I think, when we look at it, everything's interconnected, like less money for people, less time for people, less inclination to spend your money on things that are quite superfluous, like video games, especially full price video games with Nintendo Switch that don't go down in price and don't
exactly
depreciate. And that's probably what we have to look forward to on the likes of Sony and Xbox. They'll have no incentive to lower their prices with a digital only future. Continue. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say I have a few PlayStation games wishlisted on Steam, and these are 5, 6, 7 years old at this point, and they're still £25 on sale, and it's just why would I pay this money for this game when it's a game with equal budget and scope can reach really low prices eventually on PC. PlayStation and I guess Xbox less so, but definitely PlayStation and Nintendo, they have this walled garden that is just it's not consumer friendly. Least Xbox were trying to be somewhat consumer friendly, only because it's we're losing this race, let's try and
absolutely
do something that gives us a USP with you can play your games anywhere, here's Game Pass, this and that, and that's all blown up in their face eventually, and they'll probably pivot to the same exclusives, walled garden that Nintendo and PlayStation are. But I keep going back to the non-physical games in the future, but that's recently been announced and on my mind. But it's none of the savings are going to be passed on to the consumer.
No,
like,
absolutely not.
Yeah, it's we save money not printing this, but your digital games are still going to be the same price, because that's how it's always been. It's digital has always been more expensive, which is ridiculous. It's you're not printing a disc. It's just this slow burn to make the enchantification of everything. It's really depressing.
I agree.
If I sound a bit reserved in my excitement for anything on this podcast, it's because of that. The industry's getting worse.
And the only thing is with digital, I know Nintendo has game key cards for some games, but most for their games, for the most part, their games are on the cartridge, patches and any extra download aside. Problem is now, your pricing of memory is going up as well. Now, you can just delete a game. I just do that anyway. I do it on Steam. Oh, I've played a game. I'm going to delete it. I just don't want it on my hard drive anymore, even if I have lots of space. So it's not a big deal. And I don't tend to go revisit the games. So the idea of my gaming is not a problem. But, you know, it would just be convenient just to have, you know, a nice extra con. We don't need to worry about that. And you're right about the walled garden, because Sony games this gen don't really go down beyond 50%. And that's still, as you say, expensive. You're like, ooh, I don't know if I want to spend that much. I think Horizon Forbidden West on PS5, the most it's gone down to is almost £40. And you're thinking, but that's a lot. You know, that's a lot. I don't mind you selling a brand new game for £50-60. But after several years, and as you say, if they're in control of the pricing, that's a problem. Even PC went digital years ago, but PC is not a walled garden. You've got multiple, people prefer Steam, I prefer Steam, but you've got good old games, you've got Origin, you've got a few places to go to. And for preservation, there are, you know, you've got mods, there's a lot more flexibility in what you can do on PC. I think it is a dangerous battle, and Nintendo games, yeah, not going down the price. I wish they brought back the Nintendo Select line, because even if they said, we'll drop games down to £20, that have been out for 7-8 years. But, okay. You know, it'd be nice if it were 10, but £20, you think I can do that. And I think, as you say, gaming is becoming a luxury. It used to be the everyman's thing, but you're pricing more and more people out. Nintendo are not there yet, and I think Nintendo are largely insulated from a lot of that. But the lack of competition, if Xbox strides had succeeded and their console and Game Pass were doing well, Sony would not nearly be as arrogant as they are now. Mm-hmm. Microsoft crapping the bed. That always happens. Whenever one company craps the bed, it basically gives the other company a free run and they can do what they want.
Yeah. And they've been doing just that this you know, generation. And the thing is that, as you say, like, memory prices are going up, RAM prices are going up. Like, games are, you know, on console where it's like, we've got the cutting edge thing. Look at this. God of War. Well, I don't know if it was over 60 frames per second, 30 frames per second, but look how sharp the image is and all this and all that. It's like, we're either going to be spending £1,000 on a new console or to get that, you know, that equivalent of, you know, fidelity, or they're just going to have to be, you know, pairing games back anyway. And that was always the USP of consoles. It's like, look at these better graphics. Look, we've gone from, you know, 16-bit to 64 now. And it's like, there was always diminishing returns anyway at a certain point, but it's going to be even more so now. And it's like, you know, because I don't think many developers were like, oh, let's like do different systems and use the you know, memory and RAM and everything to create, you know, different types of gameplay. It was always, look how many pixels are on, I don't know, Aloy's cheek. And it's like, we're probably not going to even get that now, because, you know, they're probably going to have to be scoping for the previous console more so, because people can't afford the new one, and, you know, there's only so much of a new technology that's going to be available to go around because of this whole RAM and AI crisis. It's, yeah, console gaming is in a weird spot.
Yep, it is.
It's a roundabout way of saying it. Yeah.
Yes, it's depressing times. Depressing times. It's. I mean, everything is rubbish. Let's not to, you know, talk about the world. And obviously, gaming, you know, is you know, that's a hobby. It's nothing, you know, compared to what's going around the world, to the rest of the world, what people. But it's just sad how, you know, entertainment, which is supposed to, you know, distract you and kind of, you know, alleviate those things for a person personally, and, you know, give you some bit of joy, that's now becoming unattainable for so many.
Yeah. But despite that, you know, to just end this little aside on a good note, the games, the qualities are still very good. Like, you know, like, developers, bless their hearts, even though they're getting driven out of the industry in droves, you know, they still manage to create good experiences.
I know people rag on why there's so many 7 out of 10 games these days. It's because, shovelware aside, you know, Steam gets some ridiculous amount of games a week. For the most part, the people who are making the games are very good, and the games they're making are generally good. You know, it's it's, I don't want to say it's hard to mess up a game, but I think the talent and the ability is there that there are lots of good games. Mm-hmm. That's why I would say gaming is, you could argue gaming is definitely purer 20, 30 years ago. Gaming was, you know, maybe simpler, but you probably had a lot of the big publishers sometimes struggled to make games. It was more difficult. Mm-hmm. The hardware wasn't very good. You know, it could be glitchy. Still glitchy now, but I feel like these days they're putting a lot of costs in it. There's a lot of resource going into games, and they're generally good. We don't have time to play all the games. There's just way too many games. But I do think, as you say, there are plenty of developers. I haven't played it, but people say Mina the Hollow World is meant to be superb. That's 4 or 5 indie people. It's not very many, and it was make or break for them, but it sold so well that the studio can keep going, and they're going to make another game. So I think that's fantastic news. But it's just such a shame that it could be make or break. But you know, it's good. It succeeded. Hollow Knight is obviously successful. There's going to be DLC for that. So it's good. Yeah, just as long as the developers keep going, there's plenty of us to enjoy. So
yeah, they'll still be there, even though, you know, it's fire and rubble outside. They'll still be hunkered down making good games. So that's something to hope for.
Yeah, and speaking of games, we had about a month ago now a Nintendo Direct on the 9th of June. It was a Switch 1 and Switch 2, but predominantly Switch 2. I don't think they revealed any new Switch 1 games. They sort of went over previously released and maybe some third party ports. I enjoyed the Direct. It was a very strangely paced Direct. The way they set it out, the way they organised it, really strange. You know, Switch Sports Resort, I know that's going to be a big game, but, you know, spending a minute on... I forgot his name.
The Thumb Wars.
The Thumb Wars thing. Like,
that was excellent.
I get it. You know, that's endearing. And that's typical. Koizumi, that's right. And it's very typically Nintendo. But I feel like you get away with that more if you've had a better presentation overall. Like if you've had some bigger hitters. Like starting on Rhythm Heaven seemed strange to me. Nothing wrong with Rhythm Heaven. But that's a known quantity. You know, normally you start and end with unknown quantities. You know, you start with something new. They chucked in, which I'm very excited about, Xenoblade Genesis. A new Xenoblade game looks more fantasy, although I'm sure there'll be some sci-fi shenanigans. Just randomly in the middle of the presentation, after saying that the three previous Xenoblade games are getting Switch 2 Enhanced Editions. And it just felt very bizarre. Very excited. Game looks good. More artistic. We got a Fire Emblem Fortune's Weave announcement, which was 17th coming out 17th of September, so a couple of months away. Switch Sports Resort, I think that's going to be huge, coming out in October. They showed some good third party support, so you got Onimusha coming day and day one with Switch. Capcom are supporting Switch 2 brilliantly. They're releasing all their games pretty much day and date, at least their new ones. We know Monster Hunter Wild is getting a Switch 2 port. I'm wondering how that's going to run. Games like Metaphor are coming out. So there was a lot of cool stuff to be had. Orbitals, that looks amazing. That co-op 80s, 90s anime-styled game looks fantastic. So I thought it was a good direct. The Thumb Wars was very funny. I just thought, really, Nintendo? Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know what it felt like to me, the whole Direct? It felt like the last year of the Switch, where they just announced, oh, look at these, you know, 6-year-old games that are already on PC, Xbox, PlayStation. They're coming to the Switch, yay! And not a lot that was new. So it did feel like a very strange Direct.
Yes, I do agree, because obviously there are a lot of... The Switch 2 being on, you know, the PS4, it's more powerful than the PS4 and Xbox One, but it's obviously not a PS5 and Series X, but they're porting a lot of those older games to it and cross-gen games. So I'm like, that's not very exciting. But I also think they are releasing new games. So, you know, Dragon's Dogma 2, Dark Arisen and its expansion, that was first revealed on Switch 2 with the expansion. So that's cool. So it's Kingdom Hearts 4. That surprised me. The fact that Square Enix, I think... Kingdom Hearts 4 got a teaser years ago, but a very brief teaser, and they actually showed gameplay in the teaser, and they re-revealed it on the Switch too. That is obviously a massive get for Nintendo. Yeah. Yeah. Would I, if I'm going to play Kingdom Hearts 4, am I going to play it on the Switch too? Probably not. But I think that's great to see. It feels like, I mean, until the PS6 and Helix come out, whenever that will be with all the component cost crisis, that it feels like the Switch 2, it's obviously not on par technically, but it's companies have no problem. Oh, we're going to announce our next big game here first on the Switch 2. We're going to show it on the Switch 2. And I think that's really, really good, personally.
Yeah, I looked at the list of games, and the only one, literally the only one that I'm interested in is Piku Niku 2. Because the first one was, you know, a nice little game.
Is that Switch 1 and Switch 2, isn't it? Or is it just Switch 2?
I mean, I'd imagine it would come to Switch 1 as well. It's not exactly a technical powerhouse. But yeah, zero else appealed.
Now, to me, obviously, the most exciting announcement, even though I didn't really like the way they revealed it, was the Ocarina of Time remake. This had kind of leaked beforehand. Visually, they just showed a brief glimpse of Link waking up. It feels like there'll be a whole new soundtrack, voice acting. The only thing is, I really hope it's not one-to-one. I love the original Ocarina of Time remake game. I love it. It's probably still my favourite Zelda game. But there's been so many years since it that there are aspects that could be modernised. And also, don't reveal it like that if it's just going to be a one-to-one remake. Because the way they revealed it, it's a very brief tease, and it's meant to be coming out this year with just a date. So, I mean, it'll probably be November. But yeah, that's kind of how they tease the big new Zelda games. All the other remasters, remakes, you know, even Link's Awakening, which was a one-to-one remake, they didn't show a lot, but they did show gameplay. They revealed it coming out this year, and they showed a bit of gameplay. So the fact that they didn't show really anything, to me, I'm hopeful that it's them going, we're waiting to show you what it actually looks like and what it does. I'm not expecting I'm not expecting a Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdomification of Ocarina of Time, but I feel like they can remix some of the areas. They can make them bigger. They can make Hyrule Field bigger. Rework the combat. So I hope it's really not one to one, but we'll have to see. Yeah, but I'm very excited to know.
Because a lot of the things have not aged particularly well. No. Ocarina. So yeah, I'd imagine if they're putting in this much effort into it, they'd change it.
It'd be disappointing.
For a modern audience, yeah.
It'd be disappointing if they didn't, because remember, this game, if they're trying to bring in the new Zelda audience is Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. Can you bring in that audience with it being a complete one-to-one remake? I don't think you can. You can get the hardcore, but I don't think you can get... I could be wrong, but I think you need to do more, personally. And like, I think, to me, the idea is... So the Great Plateau bit in Breath of the Wild, I think it's like 3 or 4 times bigger than Hyrule in Ocarina of Time. It's I think you can fit that comfortably. So I think it'd be really cool if you had a Great Plateau-sized Ocarina of Time. You don't have the super expansive world of Hyrule in Breath of the Wild, but you take what is the Great Plateau, put Ocarina of Time in that and expand it. I think that'd be perfect, because it would still feel quite a bit bigger, Ocarina of Time, without going, oh my god, this game is enormous and I have to do everything. I think you can do a really cool, you can play with scale a lot and play with, because Ocarina of Time is much more linear game, and sort of keep the more linear sections while giving you a bit more freedom. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I've never played Ocarina, so I'm curious. But as I say, yeah, that teaser didn't really give anything away, so it's hard to be excited about it at the moment.
No, I agree. I'm very excited. I don't know. I presume there'll be a Nintendo Direct in September. Last year, they had a whole 20 minutes on Mario's anniversary, and then the rest was other Nintendo stuff. So I'm wondering if they're going to do the same this year. Because obviously the Zelda film's coming out April next year, I want to say. So it could be our first look at a trailer for that as well. They could have a whole Zelda section. Or they might decide, no, Zelda's going to be its own beast and do its own Zelda Direct. But I don't know. But we don't have long to see, because if it's, I think it's definitely coming out in 2026. I think they just didn't want to reveal the date just yet, just to get you excited. But I don't think Nintendo's going to delay it. So it's obviously not going to be too long until we find out, because we're in July already, which is just crazy. It means there's 5 months left of the year. There's still a long way to go, but they're not, you know, that's in, I doubt they'll release it in December. So that's, they're not going to release it this month. They're not going to release it August. So that gives you September, October, November. I don't think September is likely. So that basically gives you October and November. And November to me feels likely. That's when Ocarina of Time originally came out. November, I don't know the exact date, but November 1998. So
drop it the same day as GTA. Why not?
I mean, they. This is one of that to me. That and Pokemon are probably the only games I think not go toe to toe. GTA will outsell them, but what I not be affected. Their sales wouldn't be affected by it. They'd still sell really well. Yeah. So, but yeah, same day as GTA, and maybe they can do. And look, there's a physical thing, you know. So, but yeah, that's really the direct. I wanted to touch upon very briefly, because I know you're a big Metroid fan. This came last week, the Brazil Ratings Board, can be, you know, faked, but it's much harder. And it feels like this is Nintendo America submitted it. Metroid, presumably Metroid 6. So a new Metroid game called Metroid Ravenous. So presumably that would be a follow-up to Metroid Dread. And if it's ratings, it means it's probably not far away. I would be surprised if it came out this year, although Nintendo, like they did with Star Fox, here's a direct, it's coming out. The direct is in 10 minutes and the game's coming out in a month. So could they do that with Metroid? But maybe it's an early 2027 game. Maybe it's a January or February start the year strong. But I know people love Dread. I haven't played Dread yet. My next Metroid game on the list is Fusion. I'm doing them in order. So, because I've done Super Metroid, Samus Returns. I've done... Zero Mission first, then Samus Returns, then Super Metroid. I want to play Fusion next before going to Dread. So, yeah, I imagine this is something you're probably quite keen on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Metroid cooking game.
Ravenous, that would be hilarious.
No, I mean, we're talking about you know, is there anything to like incentivize buying a Switch well before the price hike, and if it is an actual, like, you know, Metroid Dread follow-up, then potentially that would you know, push me over the line to maybe get a Switch. But yeah, I have my issues with Dread. I think it was far too linear.
Well, isn't Fusion meant to be quite linear as well? I've heard that Fusion and Dread are very linear.
I felt Dread was very much like, if you like, sometimes you couldn't even stray from like the critical path.
Oh, really?
Almost, yeah. I think Fusion less so. But yeah, it was just very much less exploration based. There is some of that, of course, but it's like, you know, you are just like funneled through, like, okay, we go to this part next, we go to that part next. It didn't quite have the old sensibilities in terms of exploration, but the combat is absolutely excellent. I don't know what I'd want from another Metroid. Obviously I would want a 2D one, but I think I'd rather them go back to, like, you know, something more like Super Metroid, where it has that focus on exploration. Yes, keep the really good combat in, but have it a bit more, less on rails and a bit more exploratory. If they did that, then yeah, that would definitely push me across the line to get a Switch too, because Metroid Dread is excellent.
It's just too, you're funneled too much for you.
Yeah. Something like, you know, because Metroid Dread, that came after Hollow Knight, didn't it? So it's like, which was, it's crazy how we're saying that Hollow Knight is like kind of the blueprint when it's a Metroidvania, it's based off a Metroid. But things like, you know, Hollow Knight and games that, you know, or even something like Animal World, which was all exploratory. I'd want them to go more down that route rather than something. It's weird because it felt like, I don't want to be derogative, but it feels like, quote unquote, a baby Metroid, where it's like, you have to be funneled down here now and you have to be told which way to go. Where I understand, because there is part of, you know, frustration sometimes of Metroidvanias is, where do I go now? But I think they, you know, went too far in the opposite direction, just like, this is where you go, and funnel you down a certain path. But so it seemed like it had a kind of babyishness in terms of its exploration, but like really difficult combat, and there was no like any settings, or which is, I think, is ridiculous as well. The amount of money and resources Nintendo have, they really should have had, like, you know, some accessibility settings in terms of the combat and gameplay, which is, yeah, I hope the second game has that, because it was a fine level of difficulty for me, but the ability to not even, you know, I don't know, change, well, I guess we were talking about walled gardens. I don't know any Nintendo game that allows you to like change input on the controller and stuff like that, but you know, my hand was doing weird contortions on this tiny Switch to play Metroid Dread, and it's like, I really think they should be focused more on accessibility. I don't know if they still aren't, which is, I'll give Sony and Microsoft their props, seeing as we've been dissing them the whole time, where they do actually make the gameplay experience better from an accessibility standpoint. Like, meaning the Hollower, we were talking about that earlier, that has a lot of accessibility options, so that's good. Yeah,
it is good. I think the more accessibility options there are, the better, frankly. And there are options, you don't have to do them.
Yeah, and include your the developers' names in the credits, because that was another thing for Metroid Dread where they didn't. So yeah
I agree.
A lot of things where they can improve with Metroid Ravenous, not just from the gameplay point of view.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, knowing Nintendo, I think it's a safe bet that there will be a Direct in September, and this is probably where it gets revealed. With
right
probably
the price hike.
an early 2027 release date or something. But yeah, that's what I think. All right,
yeah,
well.
It's exciting. If there is a new 2D Metroid.
Yeah, I agreed. And that basically is today's podcast. So thank you very much, Lucy. It's a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
No,
it's always fun.
Thank you. Where can people find you?
Somewhere on the internet. I'm sure if you search Juicy Loose 9, I'll come up somewhere.
And you're probably AI'd all over the place now as well.
Yeah, we've all been cloned into the internet ether. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well. But yeah, okay, good. I am, well, not good, but good that, you know, you could, I can be found, I'm pretty much Agent Smith 16 on PlayStation. Otherwise, I'm Only Link 97 everywhere else, including on Discord and Nintendo. But that is today for our podcast. Hope should be uploading it in the next week, so should be up soon. And thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.